Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is SD1, which I've been told stands for Skydiver 1.
Standard deviation 1.
He might be standardly deviated, but that stands for Skydiver 1. He is a blackjack player and just came out of Colin Jones boot camp as a advisor. And SD1, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Richard.
May I call you Sky instead of SD1?
Yeah, that's easier for you to say.
It is. I feel like we're friends already. All right. So how did you learn to be a blackjack counter?
Blackjack apprenticeship, exclusively. I heard about, obviously, other than like 21, the movie and things that have come out, saw it, whatever. But my interest was piqued in church. So I was sitting in church one day, and Ben Crawford, the yes. other half who started Blackjack Apprenticeship.
The shorter half.
Yeah. He was doing a talk because we go to the same church. It's a multi-site, so he's at a different location, but basically his interview was on a big screen, and he was talking about his view of money and how it's very different than your average bear because of counting cards and having hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table, exchange hands back and forth. And I was sitting there listening to it, getting the point of what he was saying in terms of how it related to church and our faith. But then the other message was, this sounds cool and I think I can do this. And I went home, looked up Blackjack Apprenticeship, signed up that night.
Did you watch the movie?
Oh, yeah. And I did watch Holy Rollers. Yeah. After I looked everything up and read it, I'm like, this sounds legit. And I knew Ben not super well, but I knew of him. And I was like, this is the kind of a guy I'd trust. So I don't think this is a sham. And turns out it's not.
Now, how long ago was that?
2.5, 3 years ago.
Yeah. And so what was what did you do first? You buy a book, I assume?
No, I got the membership and I just immediately started training with their resources.
Okay. So you didn't buy a book.
I didn't buy a book.
And later did you buy a book?
I bought books later. So I got into reading different books once I was already kind of an established card counter and I wanted to learn more and more, but I literally just learned using blackjack membership tools. I bought some other tools that you could use and I never used them. I'm 100% trained by BJA.
So when you say other tools, like, are you talking about like Casino Verite? Or
Verite, yes.
You never used that.
I own it. Well, I bought it.
What did you use to analyze your, the games?
Oh, so CVCX, I use that piece. Okay. But now Colin actually has something out that you can analyze your game as well, which is a great resource and tool. And it's less complex, which is, I think, really nice, especially for early on card counters. Verite can get kind of deep. You can do a lot with it, but it can also get a little bit overwhelming. And his just analyzes straight up like what you need for your blackjack card counting game.
And is that an online source or is that an app or what is that?
Yeah, it's an app and it's an app. You can get it on the web and then you can also do it on your phone.
Huh, I didn't realize that.
So Blackjack Apprenticeship is a sponsor.
Yeah, right. This sounds like a commercial. Right. So,
they're a big part of my story.
And we haven't really talked about what kind of tools are available for the membership. So what tools did you find that were most available?
Well,
Colin, we're doing this in lieu of a commercial today. Right. Go ahead, Scott.
The resources on the site are everything from, counting drills, basic strategy, deviation, memorizing charts, but they also have them written out in sentences, which is better for me than memorizing the visual look of a chart. And then obviously the forums and asking questions, the networking is massive. And then where I was just the other day and was the boot camps, and I ended up going to a boot camp as well, and that was huge for me.
Why was it huge? What?
It shored up a lot. I literally came to the boot camp and I had like as I was going through my training, I had a tablet and I would write down any question I had. Like I would ask it on the forum, but I thought, okay, I'm going to have pros in front of me. So I'd write down the questions. And I went through the boot camp and I had this entire pad of paper of questions. And by the end of it, like when Colin said, any more questions? I think I had one or two questions left.
Wow.
If at all. So just the information was incredible. The networking, which jumped off a lot of the community for me and where I am as an AP now, even outside of card counting, was big at that point. But it gave me confidence having a test out there live, being put through the ringer.
Did you pass the first time?
I did. I passed my first time.
What percentage of people do you think passed the first time?
I feel like Colin said there's maybe one or two per boot camp on average that actually passed.
About 20 people in a boot camp?
Yeah.
Wow.
That passes.
So
with perfect.
Most do not pass.
Correct.
Wow. Because they've understudied before they go. The boot camp is not for beginners. It can be. There are beginners who show up there.
Yeah.
But it's basically to, you get the most out of it if you've put in a lot of work before you go. Is that fair?
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think you can get a lot out of it no matter where you are. But for me, I kind of agree with you. I think you should put in some work prior to going there. It's beneficial.
Yeah, if you are not counting already, you're not going to learn it in one weekend and pass a test.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so, I agree. But
so now you go back to these boot camps are several times a year, mm-hmm. and you go back to some of them anyway, mm-hmm. and deal cards to these people and get to know them and answer their questions.
That's right.
And do you get paid for that, or you just do that?
I do it because I think it's fun, and I also just want to help out the community and Colin.
All right, well, let's get back to your story.
Yeah.
So you went through a boot camp,
yep,
and you decided to go out and
go count some cards,
apply what you learned, yeah. Right? So and you were up in the Seattle area.
You hear me that story? Yeah, so I. Let's backtrack a little bit. So I was like, I don't know, 30 hours of play before I went to boot camp. I passed my test out. Now I'm really feeling good. I thought I was perfect, but now it's confirmed. And I go back to my area and I'm getting destroyed. And I'm down almost 40%, maybe just under that in my bankroll. And I had to resize my bets. And I'm just like, what's going on here? I go out to the Washington area.
Oh, wait. So I thought you were already there just because Ben in the church. So he was connected via television across the United
Correct.
States?
Yeah.
Oh,
he lives in my area now, which is not in Washington anymore.
Oh, okay.
It's a different area in the United States. So I went out to Washington because it's a good area for play.
Great coffee.
Right? And because I had been getting beat up so badly, I stopped in and saw Colin and had requested prior to, don't think you're going to stop in and see Colin like this. But I requested that he test me out again because I wanted to make sure my results before were right. So he tested me out a few times right there, like on a kitchen table. And then we went down the street to a casino and he wanted to make sure, you know, maybe this guy's doing something different in a casino. And I passed there, and I said, okay, great. I'm good to go. And at that point—
Now, how many hours were you losing?
It was just shy of 180 hours.
So your story is almost exactly like mine.
got really lucky in the beginning.
I tested out. I had people go to the casino with me and test me out.
Yeah.
And I quit.
You did.
I was like, this sucks. I quit.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I stopped playing, yeah. But you persevered.
Yeah, I did.
Did you ever get back at the game, Richard?
Well, what happened, I mean, thank God I had a good friend who came to me, you know, like a month later, and he had joined another team, and they started winning like crazy. He's like, you got to give this another chance.
Right.
You know, and I was like, all right, I'll try again, you know. And then I went back, and I started winning, and,
yeah,
you know, the rest is history, as they say.
But, right.
So you did this test out, and... But for you, rather than quitting, you were like, okay, I'm doing it right. I'm going to go.
Yeah, I have a strong disposition towards I'm going to make this daggone thing work if I know I believe in it. And I had just gotten back to almost even, like recovered my bankroll and basically starting from scratch again.
What was your bankroll?
I started off with $50,000 bankroll, which, you know,
much not, more than most
people. Yeah, correct. And I was guided very well on that. Like, okay, hey, that's a sizable bankroll. So when you're starting off, don't necessarily spread the way, you know, you can. And then after the boot camp, I, you know, started spreading the way I could and got crushed. But I built my way back up to my 50K, go out to Washington, get tested out. Everything is great. Feeling great again. Go out that night, lose $8,000 on my first shoe I play. I was just like, wow. It was a great game, too. But after that trip, I recovered some of it, and then it just, I think I said the analogy I used was an ascent to Everest. Like, positive variance just started falling on me, and my chart just started climbing, climbing, climbing. So... math works.
Yeah. And have you had another extended losing streak since then at any point?
Not that big. No, I have not. You know, typical ebb and flow that you're going to see on any chart. But I haven't had an extensive one, but I'm sure it's coming. It's part of the game.
Right.
Were you married or in a significant relationship when this losing streak happened?
Yes.
How did that go over at home?
So that story is with my ex-wife. And no, it didn't have anything to do with AP life. Everybody's like, here we go.
Says he. Yeah.
No, it didn't. I had actually gone to her and said, hey, I need you to do me a favor while I'm going through this. Don't ask me how I'm doing for the first 200 hours. I wanted to be like a...
Good thing you said 200, not 180.
Right, right. I know.
Not 170, yeah.
And she had agreed to it, and she, you know, held up her end of the bargain. And fortunately, I was up about 15K, which, you know, EV-wise, it was worth a lot more. But in her mind, it was like... well, okay, you're making money doing this. That's great. So it was kind of...
But after 180 hours, you were down 20,000.
Yes.
And to some wives, that's a significant amount.
She didn't know that I was down because she didn't ask until 200 hours.
Right. That was a really smart thing to do, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah. I wanted to... I looked at what the... what the N0 for the game was, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna put some cushion on this. So yeah,
it's interesting. As the 200 hour was approaching,
yeah, were you nervous?
Yes. I was nervous.
But you're the one who says when the 200 hours are in, because like, if she doesn't really know whether you're at 120 or 290.
Yeah. That's true, but I have a really, I'm not very good at lying like that. I'm not a big fan of it either, so I don't think I could have pulled that off.
Okay. So are you doing this as a full-time player?
No, I'm not a full-time player. I am a part-timer, although sometimes on a month-to-month basis, I definitely put in full-time hours in a casino with accounting and other AP stuff that I do. But... because of my job and the opportunity I have with that, because I travel a lot for work, I'm able to freely get in a lot of hours. So when I go on a trip to go see clients or go make a sale, I am basically done for the day at a certain point, and I can go work out, eat, and sit in my hotel room and watch TV. Or I can look and see if there's a casino around, which generally speaking, there's a casino around.
So what kind of hourly EV are you generating?
Probably around anywhere from 250 to 300 an hour. It can get a lot higher, obviously, on a good double deck game. But yeah, I'd say that's about the average.
So why are you still working a job?
Yeah, good question. Coming from the financial world, I have a particular goal in mind to have as a nest egg. So my whole goal is to retire as in financially independent by the time I'm 45. And, you know, that's only a few years away. So, and I'm right on track for that goal. So as soon as I have that particular amount, then I will just be full-time AP and also an entrepreneur, because I also have other side gigs or hustles that I do.
Okay, so you set a number. I actually did the same thing. I was like, if I have this amount of money, yeah, I can live the rest of my life and not have to work.
Right.
Right, if I never worked at all again.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's a kind of a good approach.
Yeah.
And you would probably hit that number anyway without the job, but you might get there faster
right
this way with the job.
Right. And I, you know, I have benefits and right now.
Well, and the job gives you the travel. You get all your travel paid for. Yeah,
I still do individual AP trips, but there's a lot of my trips, you know, my company is essentially paying for the flights, the hotel, which helps me going as an unrated player 99% of the time, because I don't need your room. I don't need your food. I don't need any of that.
Right. So you play unrated.
I do, 99% of the time. I've played rated at 3 properties in the United States. And one of them specifically was a particular play, and there was a reason I was playing rated. But it actually was involving counting, and I was able to earn their top tier status, which has been really nice, especially when I come to Vegas, because I get free rooms and, you know, got the cruises and all that stuff.
You don't count those places when you stay on the free rooms.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay. This chain has not seen action from me since this play was done. So, yeah.
Because I hear all the time from people, you know, oh, you can't play unrated, right? So, obviously, how many hours do you have in now in 2.5 years or whatever?
It's just over 700 hours.
700 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. So you played all over the United States, 700 hours.
Right.
Not being rated.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for those out there who tell me you cannot play unrated, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Although you probably haven't played Atlantic City. There it's...
Right. I have not.
Yeah,
I have not played Atlantic City.
It's hard to play there unrated. That's true.
Yeah, so my view of... There are particular areas like Atlantic City that you're... It is difficult. Well, eventually, you know, I'm not going to be able to avoid getting in databases. It's going to happen at some point.
So you're not in there yet?
No.
I mean, I would have assumed they had your picture at least.
I'm sure I'm, you know, anonymous guy 6234 or whatever, but good luck finding me, you know, that way. It's just really hard to do that within the databases the way they work. So no, they do not. I'm not in the databases.
Yeah. You mentioned you were in the financial industry, right? So
yes.
You were in options trading?
Yeah. I work for a private client group at a major U.S. bank. And then I also work for a financial investment firm, and did work for the CBOE, the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, and help advise clients. And I traded myself.
So why'd you get out of that? That's obviously a much bigger casino.
It's a much bigger casino. It's not, this is going to sound crazy. All the other card counters out there are going to be like, what? It's not as consistent, and there's way more variance. Yeah. So certainly more scalable, because you're not going to get backed off from the biggest casino in the world. But it also was getting to me a little bit, especially trading myself and then handling others, you know. If other markets outside of the U.S. market were open, and I had a client at the time, you know, it could be 5 a.m. and I'm getting a call from China because they wanted to know something. So I was go, go, go. The burn rate in that world is very high, and it gets to you.
It's very compatible. I mean, there's a lot of cross back and forth between those two worlds.
There is.
Somebody was telling me just recently that Andrew Yang, who came from that world, I believe, said in some interview that he was a card counter. So I don't know if he listens to the show, but if he's not busy these days,
I'd
love to have him on the show.
Yeah, well, Bill Gates plays 1/4 poker.
We could have him on too if he's not busy.
Yeah.
He could talk about his gambling.
Yeah.
If anybody knows Andrew Yang, you could ask him if he wants to come on the show. We would, tell him how his numbers are unpredicted.
There you go.
He could bet that market.
Okay, so now you're not in the options world.
No.
You're a salesman of sorts.
Yes.
So you have to go around the country selling your product.
Yes.
Do they send you to foreign countries as well?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good too, right? So.
Yes.
So when you're at the table and they ask you, why are you in town?
Uh-huh.
Do you give them straight answers?
Sometimes.
And so, but just the answer of I'm in sales is covers a multitude of possibilities.
It does.
Usually they don't want to talk to you much after
right.
that, right? So, yeah, I used to sometimes use that when people would say, why are you in town or what do you do? And I would say, you know, do you have life insurance? That, you know, they really don't want to talk to you much after that. Right.
Have you considered Amway?
Yeah. 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 I mean, the sales, you know, I'm not a young guy, so I don't have the issue of why does this guy have money? Because I started so late. But it still explains, like, okay, the guy's in sales, he travels, he has money, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
and do you tend to talk much at the table, or are you the quiet type?
I talk a lot. I'm the guy that you'll hear across the casino. Definitely. I'm a very A-type personality guy. I enjoy people and meeting people and talking to people. But I definitely, I think that has also helped me in a big way get the hours I have. You know, one particular casino I took over $100,000 from before they were finally like, what the heck's going on? And I think a big reason for that was just...
And that was unrated.
That was rated.
Oh. And they didn't database.
No.
Wow.
But I had prior knowledge of that they did not contribute at the time. And that seems to have held true. I'm going to talk up to Pit Boss every second I get.
Yeah, well, if he's engaged in a conversation, he can't really be watching the cards.
Right.
I mean... There's like one in 10,000 pit bosses that can count cards, but probably none that can count and carry on a conversation at the same time.
Well, yeah, and I just generally speaking want to be a friendly person. It can be miserable being a card counter, especially when you're losing. So I don't want that aspect of it being miserable for me also. You know, I want to try to engage my brain in other ways while I'm there too and talk to the other players like a good gambler would. And you know, just have conversation while I'm sitting there just doing this monotonous thing over and over and over.
Have you had any bad backoffs?
I have. I was playing rated, but not rated as myself.
Can we talk about how that works? Or is that something you don't want to...
No, it's just, you know, somebody else's card. Somebody else is willing to say, okay, here's, you know... No big deal. You can play into this card. And
so he gets the comps.
Yeah. Right. I said this can go, you know, this was actually facilitated by another AP friend. And he got the card and it was like, okay, he told him this could work out one of two ways. One, it could be great. You can get all these comps. Two, you might never be allowed back in this casino ever again.
Eventually, that's going to happen, right?
Well, the latter happened pretty quickly, actually, because I didn't care. I was spreading quite big at this particular place. And this place used to take action really well. And, it, you know, things in casinos change all the time. So it had kind of switched a little bit. And I got backed off. I told this story on the podcast with Colin, but he said the funniest thing to me. He looked at me and he goes, are you playing with a card? And I said, yeah, why? And he goes, okay, good. Well, you're done. No more blackjack. He's like, hit the road. Or no, hit the dusty trail. That's what he said. And I stopped and looked at him and was like, hit the dusty trail? Did you just say that? And he's like, yeah, that's what I said. So I'm thinking typical back off. By the time I get to the cage, I'm surrounded by 9 suits and they're blocking all the other portholes to cash out and I'm getting harassed and I'm just
got to get to the place with a good camera.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm not easily intimidated at all. So, you know, I stood my ground and ended up getting out of there. But the really funny thing about that is the line of ploppies that kept just forming because they wanted to cash out. Well, they were blocking all, so they started getting really angry, like, what the heck's going on here? They couldn't cash out or take their credit card advance or whatever they wanted to do at the cage because they held the whole thing up for probably 30 minutes.
Wow. So
they had this massive line of gamblers and customers that wanted to, and they thought that was really entertaining.
So what was the point? Were they just to read you the Trespass Act? Why did it take so long?
No, I think they quickly figured out that it was not my card. And I think that angered them a little bit. I mean, they did a whole good cop, bad cop thing. And the good cop was like, well, you know, I understand that this is what you do, but you know, it feels like you've defrauded the casino and used some language like that. And I was like, you call it whatever you want to call it. I was like, I know I've done nothing illegal. And then I also said, also, I think your person that entered the data really screwed up because that's my card. So I just, you know, kept the act cool. And I'm like, I'm sorry, your data entry person's not very good at what they do. And he just.
And were they demanding ID, I assume?
Oh, they tried. Right.
And you just said you didn't have one?
Yeah.
I think I only
won like $2,000 or $2,500 from them. Huh. So they were definitely angry about that part. But I mean, most back offs are.
Did they tell you
generally
you were
nice.
Required by law to have ID when you were in the casino?
Oh, I've been told something like that at a cage, especially in the Midwest where cages are very sweaty. And they do anything and everything. They'll say anything and everything they can to get you to show your ID. But no, he didn't say that. He was just they were just very forceful and trying to be intimidating. With, I mean, it was nine security guys in suits around me, so it was a big spectacle all for nothing.
And eventually, they just cashed you out and told you not to hit the dusty trail.
Hit the dusty trail, and then I got followed by a security guy on a bicycle to make sure I was off the property. Oh, I was told he was going to get a good picture of my plate. And I said, well, somebody that rents that car the next time is going to be in a rude awakening when they come into your casino then, because that's a rental car. So, I mean, generally speaking, I'm really nice when these things happen, but.
Can casinos go to Hertz and say, who's driving 123XYZ Colorado plates? Will the Hertz cooperate? Do you have any idea?
No, I can't say if there's an nefarious activity where somebody knows somebody, there's bribery going on. I'm sure anything can happen, but in terms of a policy for Hertz, they're not going to share customer information like that unless it's a warrant.
Yeah, yeah. And who would you even call? I mean, unless it's a small enough town where maybe you know somebody who works at Hertz or whatever the rental car company is.
Right.
But,
well, he didn't hate.
But I mean, the other thing is they, and this should not be legal, but they call police and say, hey, whose plate is this for when it is your car?
Right.
And the police give them that information in some instances. So, you know, how that can be legal, I don't know, but it certainly happens. In a lot of jurisdictions, the police feel like they work for the casinos.
Yeah. Especially in tribal land, they definitely work for the casinos. They'll just pull you over, and then you have to give ID because you're operating a motor vehicle. That's a nasty trick.
Yeah, although I got pulled over at an Indian casino, and they demanded ID from my passenger.
Oh,
and he just was like, "I don't have ID." You know, you know.
Yeah, and nor do you. Can you demand
away.
It?
you can demand it, but
right.
But I can tell you where your mother works. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're talking to Skydiver One, and we're taking a brief commercial break, and we're going to get back, including finding out how he got the name Skydiver One. I'm assuming it's not because he's afraid of airplanes. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. Between December 15th and 24th, everything is half price if you use your points. This is an annual promotion from the end of the NFR rodeo to Christmas Eve. Michael Gaughan has been very active in the NFR rodeo for a number of years, and he has something like 3,000 stalls to do horses in. So, hope you like cowboy music if you go to the South Point in early December. Fortunately, I do like country western music, so that was no problem. Next semester, free video poker classes will begin Tuesday, January 14th. You'll hear more about that in upcoming weeks. At predictit.org, there's a market where you can place bets on the occurrence of various political events. Let me say that again. You can place small bets on the occurrence of various political events, including whether or not someone will be impeached, or how many tweets there will be, or who various nominees will be, or will somebody have to give a public deposition in a certain time period. Gambling with an Edge listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20 at predictit.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. Personally, I'm interested in politics, and I find the site fascinating and watching how the numbers go up or down with the changing news.
It's also interesting to compare their numbers to Betfair. Because, you know, Betfair in Europe, they have a betting market like this, and you can bet on these things. And so it's interesting to compare their numbers, you know, between the two.
Are they a big enough difference so arbitrage is appropriate, or is this just predicted as such small bets?
Part of the problem is, like many things, the big bridge jumpers are the best value, right? So, for example, there might be a bet, will Hillary Clinton be the next Democratic nominee? And at Betfair, you know, the no is 99 cents out of a dollar, whereas at Predicted, it might be 95, right? So now that's a good bet, but if you have to bet 95 to win the 5 cents and tie up your money for a year, you know, is that really the best place for your money? You have a big edge on that bet, but, you know. But you can look for those kinds of discrepancies, and maybe you'll find better opportunities than that one that I mentioned.
Yeah, if he's talking about the number of tweets in the next week.
Right, if there was a big difference, a big discrepancy,
That would be solved.
Although you would have to have somebody in Europe to, if you wanted to actually arbitrage, as opposed to just, you're going to have an edge on one side, so you might just be willing to take the variance.
It's like a pair trade in the market.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Another one of our sponsors is blackjackapprenticeship.com. We've been talking about that. So, Colin, I hope you will consider we've already done our due diligence. We very much appreciate them being sponsors. Usually during the boot camps, they have a party for invited guests. This one I missed because Bonnie and I were square dancing out of state. But Richard tells me it was the best one ever. And there were whole bunches of very successful gamblers there and lots of fun games. So I'm hoping he does that at the next one, and I'll be invited again.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was.
At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. An additional membership, pro membership, is sold separately at $6.95 a month or $49.95 a year. Listeners can get 100 hands for free to try it out if they sign up at videopoker.com/GWAE. The biggest advantage of this membership is that the video poker software, it corrects you on both Quick Quads and Ultimate X. On Ultimate X, all pay schedules above 96% for both triple play and five play, it will give you the exactly correct play for every possible sum of multipliers. What we mean by sum of multipliers, if you're playing triple play, The multipliers go from each game between 1 and 12. So the sum of multipliers can be as low as 3, meaning no multipliers at all, up to 36, which would mean in most games you were dealt a full house on the last hand. And there can be different plays whether the multiplier is at 8, 15, 32, etc. So this gives you accurate information. So it's a great resource if you have a, if Ultimate X is one of the games that you're trying to conquer. All right. So we're back playing, we're back talking with Skydiver 1. So it doesn't exactly follow the stream of things, but how did you choose the name Skydiver 1?
Because I jump out of airplanes for fun.
So you jump out of perfectly good airplanes.
Well, any pilot will tell you, Bob, that there's no such thing as a perfectly good airplane.
So. Oh, so that's why you jump out of that. That's why. Now I understand.
How did you get into that?
Just did it once, liked it a lot, realized I couldn't afford it at the time. I was in college through just particular circumstances, tried it again, realized how much I liked it. I had means at that time and never stopped. Yes. That was kind of the story.
Have you done 100 jumps, 1,000 jumps? Any idea?
A little over 2,600 skydives.
Sounds wow. like he has a sounds like he has an idea. Well, wow. That, I have done once, actually twice in the same jump. It was my first time and my last time. I did enjoy it.
That's
but
one more than I had.
I did enjoy it, but my chute had a malfunction in it. Fortunately, we'd covered that particular type of malfunction in the training, so I knew what to do about it, and that's actually probably a good story from one of my stories.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Have you handled that? Means I'm guessing you did a static line jump. Did you jump out of the plane and it pulled your chute, and then you had a malfunction on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we did a static line jump. So it was automatically opened. And I'll tell it sometime in Story Slam. And after I prepare it, I might tell it on the air. All right. So you talked about an interesting back off of being told to pound the dust. Is that what it was?
Hit the dusty trail.
Hit the dusty
trail. I'll never forget that.
So how many times have you been backed off in Las Vegas?
Zero.
What's wrong with you?
Apparently, I don't have a winning game.
So how is that possible, or do you just not play here a lot?
So it's just under 70 hours now in Vegas.
Okay, so that's not a lot given how many casinos there are here. And
it's not, but at the same time it's still a little weird. I think it's weird.
Yeah.
You clearly haven't played at the El Cortez.
Do you hit and run?
I have not. No. Most of it's not. Most of it, I sit down and just play.
For your normal amounts of...
You know, the sessions ranging from 1 hour to 4 or 5 hours.
Wow, that is amazing.
It's pure luck is what it is. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it other than like maybe a crossing of pure luck to likability and talking. I have no idea.
And as Bob said, clearly you haven't played the El Cortez.
No, I have not. I've walked in the El Cortez, but I've not played the El Cortez.
Now, the Barbary Coast was gone before you became a counter, but then it became...
Well, now it's the Cromwell.
Cromwell, and it was something Bills.
Was that it, Bills? I can't believe we can't remember this. We're old.
I've played Cromwell.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well. All right. So you said you're loud at the tables. Is ever alcohol part of your act?
Yes. Yeah, so I'll have a beer or two. I'm not going to overdo it. I'm not going to get to the point where it impacts my decision making. I know I listened to one of the podcasts you guys did where I can't remember who it was, but they trained.
Rome's.
Yeah. Rome's trained. They trained inebriated, which I thought, I was like, man, that's fascinating. I was like, maybe I'll get into that.
I'm still highly suspect of that.
I don't, I mean,
he's only been on the show sober. Next time we invite him on,
there you go.
Have him be shit-faced and see how it works.
Yeah, no, I, so yeah, I'll absolutely drink, but not to excess. And like, I have another one of my ventures in the AP world is bankrolling another player. And, you know, I tell him, I'm like, look, it's fine to have a beer or two, but it's got to stop there. There's too much money in loss of EV for one bad decision. So I'm never going to push it.
So you don't actually team up. You're just investing in his.
Correct.
And you play separately.
Yeah.
And how's that working out?
Great. Yeah, he's doing great.
That's good, because there are a lot of stories like that that do not end well.
Yeah. So. You know, others in the community that I'm friends with have done this, and there's definitely bad stories, but there's been some really good success stories. And my whole goal is to help out this guy and get him to the point where he has his own bankroll, and then he can be done with me and my money. So. But he's doing great. He's a determined AP card counter. So it's great.
Uh-huh. Well, when he builds his bankroll up high enough, you can recommend him to come on the show.
Absolutely.
We'll get the whole story. Yeah. Have you had any really bad backoffs? Have you ever been backroomed or handcuffed? Or
hit the dusty trails as bad as it gets.
As bad as it gets, yeah.
You know, that's pretty good if that's the worst thing that ever happened.
No, but I mean, I can share a really good story about backing off. I told this story last night about backing off a back room for the guy I'm bankrolling.
Yeah.
He called me and said, you know, SD1, I'm in this back area, and now they want me to go in this room with just a chair in it and a table. And I'm like, and he's just like, I don't want to do that. I'm like, well, your instincts are right. You know, why are you in the back area to begin with? And I was like, you know, put your hands up, show a visual for the cameras, point to the door and say, I'm leaving. And he did it. And the security guard immediately put his hand on his chest and kept him from leaving. And at that point, I said, okay, well.
You're still on the phone with him.
I'm on the phone.
You got a lawsuit.
I said, put me on speaker. And he's like, what? And then I proceeded to be like, I'm his attorney. You've assaulted him. You're holding him against his will. And I just pressed and pressed and pressed. And the next thing you know, he comes back on the phone and he goes, they're letting me go.
Wow.
And I was like, this is okay. This is good. And then I said, well, this worked out. By the way, don't ever go in the back room. If you're going to go in the back room, it better be because they physically are putting you in a back room. Otherwise, don't do it. And I said, and this is good because, you know, they don't know who you are. And he's like, well, but they got my ID. And I went, what? I thought I had voided it all. But, I mean, it was, you know, that's a really – most people I know got in the databases very early because casinos lie and intimidate.
Yeah.
That's what they do. I just am a very strong-willed person. And when I suspect something's amiss, but all, you know, I'm not just like, wait a minute, what? I question it. But at the same time, I had great tutelage, and I understood very thoroughly what they were going to try to do. So I just don't bend at all when it comes to that.
So did he file a lawsuit?
He did not. No, they let him go. It's fine. I mean,
yeah. If all they did was put their hand on his chest,
right. So that's not really worth it. Is it wrong? Is it illegal? Sure it is. But is it worth the time to invest and do anything? No, it's not.
Are there laws in that state about impersonating an attorney?
Remember, it's SD1. You can look me up in the phone book. Yeah, so.
That does sound that an attorney uses a pseudonym. Something's fishy about this. Have you ever had a partner? As a teammate?
No. I'm a lone wolf.
Okay. Now, you're a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you might be in, and I'm making states up because I don't really know, might be in Louisiana one weekend and Iowa one weekend and Nevada one weekend. And you probably know a little bit in advance, but not really. So a lot of the benefit of being hooked up with other players on the community is that, you know, they can tell you that there is a good game in such and such a casino in such and such a city that you might never get to. And so is having this network valuable when you're going from place to place to place all over the country, or is it irrelevant?
It's extremely valuable.
In what way?
To know, well, generally speaking, I mean, you guys have been to the parties for the BGA community, and my network and the friends that I have, that information as to, like, hey, last time you were there, what were the conditions? Is it a sweatshop? Is it not a sweatshop? Should I hit and run them? Can I sit down and play?
That is the most valuable information.
Yep.
Like, all the stuff about what the rules are and what the penetration is, none of that is anywhere near as important as this place will take action,
right,
or this place will throw you out in 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, I mean, that is the most important thing to know. And the other thing that is so important about knowing lots of people and having them spread out is, you know, you get somewhere and you run out of cash. And you say, hey, I ran out of cash. Can you loan me $20,000
or
whatever? And, you know, so having a network of people around where that's an option is another one that's, you know, extremely valuable.
Yep, I agree.
What about cashing chips? Is that ever?
That too, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Or buying chips.
Yeah, both ways.
Yeah.
Coming in with chips is better.
Now, you
not.
Mentioned going to the cage when you got told to hit the Dusty Trail, which
yeah.
is something that I never do. Is that your normal MO, is to just cash out at the end of your session?
So it depends. If I'm going to be in the area for a while, no. That particular trip, I needed to travel down to another area of the state later that night for other appointments in the morning. So I wasn't going to drive back because I was flying out from this other city in the state. So yeah. I really didn't have a choice in it. I needed to cash out. I mean, I could have kept chip inventory from there, but it was very far away from home base, let's just say. So I didn't really care.
It's not like they will have forgotten about you in the 2 months it's going to take you to get back there.
Right.
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 And are you hat or no hat? Or you don't care? You
know? I don't care. I've never done the whole, I mean, I've changed my look a little bit.
To change facial hair or
yeah,
hair length and those
facial
kind of
hair, hair. I'll wear a hat. I will not wear a hat twice. I'll tell you that. But yeah.
You will not wear the same hat twice.
Right, exactly. In a casino that I've been backed off from.
Well, there are distinctive things about you, so I suspect you tried not to make that obvious.
That's never seen, ever.
All right. Machine games. Do you ever play video poker or must hit by slots?
I do.
You mentioned other forms of AP. So
yeah.
You've branched into slots and video poker. Any other forms of AP?
So not like big team hole carding or anything like that, but there's been some opportunities that I've caught just doing some mild training. I really could be a lot better, but one particular spot was just really obvious. And so, you know, done a little bit of that, but nothing like in a major way. It's mostly counting. That's the bread and butter, and then machine play too.
So unless you're playing progressives, so much of the benefit of playing video poker is the mailers that come and those kind of things where you might not be back at a place for several months or ever.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose out on at least that part of it unless you have somebody who can pick it up for you.
Yep.
But progressives are still obvious.
Progressives, you could be there for 14 hours or whatever.
Well, you don't have to stay until the end, but it is and if he has to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 9 o'clock the next morning, it's a chance he's not going to play for 14 hours.
Oh, I will. I do a lot of machine play locally around where I live. so I can get most of the benefits, but I do have the network.
Do you count cards in the same places where you...
No.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I have, beginning of my career, backed off, but yeah, right.
But now you're playing machines.
Who looks at slot, you know.
Are you playing machines where, are you playing games where getting W2Gs is possible?
Yes.
And likely. Okay. So you definitely have to show ID for that.
Yes.
Showing somebody else's ID doesn't work real well.
Correct.
All right. We are pretty much through with you, SD1. Rich and I have a brief segment called Recommended that we're going to get into. Thank you very much for coming by. It was very interesting and informative.
Thank you, guys. It was an honor.
All right, Richard. Time for you to recommend something to our audience.
My recommendation this week is, and again, people may have, I've mentioned Magic stuff before, so the recommendation is a thing called Wonderground, and it's run by a pretty famous magician in magic circles, a guy named Jeff McBride, and it's held the third Thursday of every month, and it's at a Middle Eastern restaurant hookah lounge called Olive on Sunset between Sand Hill and Annie Oakley, and they have magic and weird interpretive dance and sometimes body painting. And it's just kind of a weird thing that happens every month on the third Thursday. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, you know, you can Google it. It's called Wonderground. And that's my recommended for the week.
All right. I'm going to talk about a website that I wasn't going to talk about today, but I was mentioning it to Richard when Sky came in the room, and he says he knows something about it. So this sounds like a good idea to talk about. It's called helpareporter.com. And when you get emails for them, it comes under HARO, which stands for Help a Reporter Out. But if you look up HARO.com, I hope you speak German, because it isn't what you want here. Now, what HelpAReporter.com does is three times a day, they send out emails to everybody on their list with 50 to 100 to 200 different ideas. Our reporters are looking for information about something. It could be on finance, it could be on what to get dad for Christmas, it could be survivors of this kind of attack, it could be anything. So if you're an expert on something and want to get your name out there, it is interesting. So I've been doing it for couple weeks now, have not come across anybody looking for a premier video poker writer and teacher in the world. But any kind of gambling, if they come out for, I can present myself as an expert. And whether or not they choose to use me or not, I don't know. If you decide that they want you, you send an email and say, I'm the guy who can answer your question. These are my credentials and this is my email address and phone number, and they may or may not connect with you depending on whether they like your resume and how many other people answer. But for those who want to get your name out there, it is it's a good source. Now, Sky, you said you know something about this site?
I know the founder.
Uh-huh. That's something. Okay. Very good. So it hasn't helped me yet, but I'm expecting it to, and I'm looking forward to getting contacts from there. Occasionally, I get emails from people who know who I am and are looking for some kind of video poker expert. But this might be other people who come along. Thank you, Sky. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.